Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And Mark, we haven't done a show in a while. We've been posting some awesome interviews, and I think
we got together like right after Fan Fest, right?
Yeah.
And just did maybe one show.
And I had to do some traveling, and we did the 3-count show, which was awesome. Hopefully we can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was a fun experience.
But I think what's on my mind is what's on everybody's mind, and it's simply this. Mark, what you been up to?
Well, Heath, since you asked, have you ever been to Trader Joe's?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my Lord.
Where is it at?
There's one in Greenville.
Okay.
And we were in Greenville, and we'd always heard, oh, you got to go to Trader Joe's. They got all this stuff. So we went, and I got to tell you, man, you throw me off when you get up and you start moving around. We didn't check the microphones to make sure they were working. Are they working? Yeah. Are they? Hey, I was making sure. I didn't want to keep talking and us not be recording.
No.
This gold that I'm fixing to tell you about.
Do it.
No, here's the thing, all right? I'm fat. And if I'm walking around Trader Joe's and I'm the healthiest looking person in the store.
Oh, my.
That tells you something. And I'm not talking about fat people in there now. They weren't fat. But, man, there's something about it. And I'm not saying it's Trader Joe's food. I'm just saying I think when you start eating all that stuff that doesn't have I don't know what it doesn't have in it.
Chemicals.
But apparently what that leads to is a crusty face and your hair falling out. You know what I mean? I'm like walking around looking at these people, and here's like, I don't know what's in food that makes you look, that makes your complexion good.
Yeah.
That makes you not have split ends.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that people that, you know, I don't know, man, the hippy dippy, whatever was in there. Maybe they just don't take care of themselves. I don't know what the deal is, man.
Was it a younger crowd or an older crowd?
A little bit of both. It was like have you ever seen the picture of the lady that says, you know, she's 50 years old and she does yoga every day and she doesn't eat gluten and she doesn't eat this and she doesn't eat that. She only eats organic and she looks like she's about 80 and she's got stringy hair and a bad complexion.
Yeah.
And she just, and then they show a picture of Nigella Lawson and says she's the same age and she eats cream and cheese and oils and cake and all, and she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's the same age. And it was just like that, man. Like there was this, you ever watched King of the Hill, the guy that he calls Twig Boy with the little brace on his hand and the long hair, but he's like, he's got that sad little Shawn Michaels ponytail where he's got his hair. There's no hair on top, but there's still hair in the front. So he grew it out real long.
Pushes
back the ponytail and it's covering up the bald spot, but you can still see the bald spot. I saw, and they got their Chacos on and their Birkenstocks on. And then I see, here's like when I turned to my wife and said, these are not our people. Let's go get a Big Mac, go to Walmart. Because this lady, I see her walking around, and here's all I hear her say over her cell phone. Because here's another thing, people that walk around talking real loud on their cell phones out in public.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Okay. Yeah. Why do you have to talk so dang loud?
Yeah. I talk loud.
You do. You talk loud just in normal conversation.
Yeah, I don't have an indoor voice.
You don't at all. Nobody ever said to you in life, we're inside now. Maybe you don't have to yell at me. And, you know, I didn't know if you knew you did it or not.
I know. I embrace it, and I young buck it.
Oh, there's no doubt. You turn it up to 11.
I copyright that phrase.
I young bucked it. You did. You turned it up to 11, brother. And then when you get on the phone, for some reason, you get even louder.
Okay.
I didn't know if you knew that.
Can you hear me when we talk on the phone?
Oh, I can hear you. No doubt.
Hey.
I can hear you. So anyway, this lady's talking on her phone, and I hear her say these words that lead me to say, these aren't our people. Let's get out of here. The house is really nice, but there's just not enough room for me to do my photography.
Can I just say, you guys know, if you listen to this show, you know, Mark and I, we're creatures of habit, and we go, and then today's going to be a great day. I just feel it. We go and we get breakfast, and then we stop at a little convenience store on the way back to my mom's basement where we're going to record. And Mark just mentions at breakfast, hey, I got a story about Trader Joe's. And that's all he says. I have no idea what he's going to talk about. That story far exceeded any expectations I had.
So, but here's the thing. Like, I have to go even further. And so I have,
please,
I have to see who said. The house is great,
but
there's not enough room for me to do my photography.
I wish we were a video show because your face is amazing.
So I turn around, and what I see is a girl, and I don't know, maybe she's 25 to 30.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time she trimmed the split ends off of her hair.
She's due for a cut.
Yeah, she's due for a cut. And I was thinking, maybe if you cut your hair, threw a little rouge on, you could find a man that could afford to get you a house that would have room for you to do your photography.
Bada bing.
And I'm not sure that taking pictures of your ugly ass in a dirty bathroom is considered photography or not. So, and then I continue to look, and what I realize is she has her name tag on from whatever job that she does. So if you're the kind of person that has to wear a name tag, there's a chance you ain't ever going to get a house where you're going to have room to do your photography anyway. Now, there's somebody that's going to send me a message and say, but Mark, I wear a name tag. I do too.
Yeah.
So I can say that.
Yeah.
All right. Not only do I wear a name tag, I have Mark permanently engraved in the coveralls I have to wear where I work at. So I'm not talking about anybody.
Those are your people.
Those are my people.
Right.
The people that wear name tags are my people. She ain't my people. She's just temporarily wearing a name tag at the job I'm sure she's going to get fired from here in the next few weeks.
So it's clear she has a job. She's wanting to take her photography further than just the little hobby she's got going on.
Right. She wants to be a professional photographer.
Right.
That's great. I have a friend who's a professional photographer.
Yeah.
They take pictures of baseball games and local football games and pictures of families who want to have, and that's great. I'm not knocking people that choose photography, but I just get a feeling that's not the kind of photography that this young lady wants to engage in. I think she wants to take pictures of fruit bowls and things like that.
Oh,
that's what the impression that I got from her. Based on the 5 seconds of eavesdropping on her conversation, I could just tell she ain't my people.
So because I thought your story about Trader Joe's was going to be about something else, I want to ask a question. So I have been to Whole Foods over in Greenville.
Whole Foods is great.
I think we went and got pizza there. They have like a little pizza bar, which was really cool. Trader Joe's, a lot more expensive than...
Not really.
Really?
I was kind of surprised, not really, but everything's like Trader Joe's brand. For the most part, most of the stuff, except for the alcohol. They had a big selection of wines and some craft beers and stuff. But yeah, for the most part, like they had their own milk, Trader Joe milk. I don't know. It's just a weird store and it wasn't for me. And so the story is kind of anticlimactic. It doesn't
end with
like me confronting any of these yuppies, but... You know,
you love yuppies though. I mean, you wake up in the morning.
I'm a yuppie guy.
Yeah. You wake up, you have a radar in your brain that seeks them out.
Yeah.
You cannot resist them.
Right. Just so the point is clear to people, if you have a name tag on your clothes, you are my people.
Yes.
I am not insulting anybody.
No.
That is not what I mean.
No.
But we all know if we got name tags on our clothes, not only do I have my name engraved on the coveralls that I wear, I got the name of the company engraved on the other chest plate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are my people. I'm not insulting anybody at all. We are the backbone of this country. The people that wear name tags are the ones that drive this country. When I hear, like a friend of mine was talking about, we talk about conspiracy theories a lot. You and I do. And,
yes, we do.
And I'm a big conspiracy theory fan. I love.
And I think that they should change the name of it to just the truth.
Yeah, right. Me, like the wilder the conspiracy theory, the more I like it. You know, I just love, I read them all the time because I just think they're cool, man. Like the crazy stuff that people think are going to happen. But there's the plagues and things to depopulate areas. And a friend of mine was like, well, what if that happened? And I was like, we don't have anything to worry about, dude. We are not the people. The people that wear the name tags are not the ones that they're looking to thin out. They need us.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
need me.
Yeah.
I provide a good and a service that the rich people love.
Right, right.
You know, and if you knew where I worked at, you would know we make a product almost specifically for the rich.
Yeah.
You know.
They're like not going anywhere without you, literally.
Literally, the product that we make gets them where they want to get. So...
We talked about that at Bible study last night, plagues and world things. And,
yeah. And I love my company. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm so proud of it. Like, it's not when I don't tell people, it's just because it's just I don't think some stuff you need to tell just because I don't ever want to say something that will embarrass the company that I work for.
Correct.
And it would never be my intention to because it's the greatest company I've ever worked for.
Just in the world.
In the world. I do think that. What we provide, I think we make the best of that product in the world.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
So, Trader Joe's, luckily, you had a weekend that made up for your trip. Oh, no, Trader Joe's was yesterday.
Trader Joe's was yesterday. Yeah. The weekend I spent with my friends, Josh and John Graham at Hatfield. Both of them's name were John. So we called John Graham John, and then John Hatfield is Hatfield.
Yeah.
Because we met John Graham first, basically.
That seems fair.
So he was John, and then Hatfield came along, so he was Hatfield. And
any relation to Ken Hatfield?
Yes, I think so.
Oh.
I think like somewhere back, I think I remember him telling him, I could be wrong, but I think, you know, I think he might be, but I don't know for sure. But just like some of my favorite people to hang out with, and we don't get to see each other that often. And I always think this line from Stand By Me, I never had friends like I did the friends I had when I was 18.
Yeah.
That do any of us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I think, and we've talked about this, four guys and none of us had brothers. So there was that that draw to where we kind of all became friends. And I think we were the first friends in life. And you know this, when you go off to school and you get out of high school, you meet that first group of friends that are the group of friends that you picked.
Right.
That you weren't friends with because...
That's a good observation.
Like you and I are friends, and we're friends basically. Well, we like one another, right. But... We met because geographically we were in the same place. You have classes together, and then that's how you meet people. But when you go off to a place where there's thousands of people, and you don't necessarily have classes with any of them, these are the people that you just meet and find a kinship with.
Yeah,
and I think that is like why we've all stayed such good friends.
Right.
And,
oh, yeah.
And my friend... Josh is, I mean, I couldn't be more happy for the success that he's had.
Yeah.
My friend John Graham is one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And my friend Hatfield, as far as cooking on a grill, I don't know that I've ever had anybody's food that's as good as the food that Hatfield cooks on a grill.
So that's your four horsemen.
Yeah. Yeah. They're my four horsemen, man. And I love all four of them. And I don't go around hugging people. And I don't go around telling people I love them. And you know this.
Yeah.
But I always make sure that I hug those guys and tell them I love them because we don't see each other like I see you.
Right.
And we don't see each other like we see the people in our everyday lives. We see each other once, twice, on a good year, three times a year because geographically we're separated from one another.
Yeah.
And you just don't know every time, especially once you get into your 40s, you don't know that this is it, that this is the last time that and I don't mean that to be a downer, but you just don't. You don't know.
No, you're right.
that somebody has a car wreck or somebody has a heart attack or somebody. Yeah. I mean, there are people our age that have died in the past year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know that somebody ain't going to get relocated for a job to California.
Oh,
and you not see each other anymore. Yeah. And so, like, I always just make sure to tell those guys how much they mean to me and how much I love them and give them a hug. And see, you know me, and that's not who I am.
No.
But I do it with those guys. So my friend Hatfield is the grill master.
Yeah.
So I jokingly send him this video of this ridiculous hamburger that I found these guys made. And they were called beer can burgers.
Yeah.
And I was like, Hatfield, you gotta see this, man. These guys just took this thing over the top.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, well, that's what we're having. I'm going to make those for our get-together. So he brings his grill. He takes and like almost a pound of it's probably half a pound of hamburger meat a piece.
Yeah.
And makes it into this huge ball.
Yeah.
And then sticks a beer can right down the middle of it and then forms the meat about halfway up the beer can. So it creates this bowl, this meat bowl.
Yeah.
And then there was a barbecue joint down the road. So he got beef brisket at the thing. And then I sauteed up some peppers and onions.
Nah.
So we take this bowl and we fill it with grilled peppers and onions. And then he stuffs it with the brisket. And then we got two different kind of cheeses, cheddar jack or Colby jack and pepper jack cheese.
Shredded? Or
No. We cut it up into blocks.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuffed the cheese into the middle. Now, then, because you got to overdo it, we take bacon, and he wraps the outside in like three pieces of bacon all the way up to the top. So it's surrounded in this bacon thing. Puts them on the grill for an hour, closes the lid. We go back, and these things, you saw a picture of it. It's as big as a baby's head.
It is.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't describe.
How did you even eat it? Because I saw you holding it up and I thought, good grief.
You just dig into it, man.
Wow.
What else can you do? We grill the buns. And I mean,
man.
It far exceeded. Like, I never expected in a million years that we would actually make these things.
Yeah.
But when you get together for a stag party, that's
right.
What you got to do.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? And we did, and it was just the most incredible hamburger that I've ever had. I'm going to steal your gimmick. I mean, like, my hat off to John Hatfield for creating, and he made these great deviled eggs. Like, I'm not a big deviled egg fan.
Really?
But I bet we ate two dozen of those deviled eggs, man.
You know,
because he not only did he do the yolks like you're supposed to, but he like fried up bacon and crumbled
what
bacon.
What does he do? Like,
he's a paramedic.
Oh, so
is that what you meant?
No, yeah. That's very scary that I didn't even get half. I got word out and you answered the question.
You said, what does he do? I figured you meant.
No, I didn't finish it.
Oh.
I was like, what? And you finished it.
Oh.
And, dude, that's amazing.
Yes, they were amazing.
Was it delicious?
It was, as you would say, delicious.
Dude.
So to those three guys, I mean, it was a great weekend.
I want to skip lunch now because nothing we have is going to live up to that story.
You're absolutely right.
Golly.
Yeah, it was that good, man. And there's a YouTube video of the guys making it, so maybe we can embed that
into
this so people can just
get
an idea.
We can put that at the top.
And I have pictures of the burgers if people want to see them. I mean, I put a picture on my Facebook page of mine. And,
oh, it was great.
But there's another one that he took of his, which was great because he put like – oh, we also put barbecue sauce. We poured barbecue sauce. Yeah, into the thing. We had a couple different kind of like we had – when we got the brisket, we just got some things of barbecue sauce and put that in there. I forgot about that.
So charcoal or grill?
Oh, charcoal. Grill. If you Hatfield is one of those guys. If you discuss propane, he gets offended, like Hank Hill gets if you talk about. He won't. Like Hank Hill gets offended if you talk about charcoal. That's the way Hatfield is. If you suggest he cook something on propane, he's not.
Yeah,
he ain't doing that.
Yeah,
he's an old school. Like it's so funny too because it drives Josh gets it drives him nuts.
Yeah,
because he's like, no, I have to get the temperature of the grill to 300 degrees before I can put these things on. Like it's that, and Josh is like, no, we got to get these things going. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? And that's just this great thing that happens between the two.
He's an artist.
He is. He's an artist, and his medium is meat. And he created his masterpiece this weekend.
Wow. Wow. Mm. So you probably think he's reached the pinnacle of his culinary.
No, I don't think he has because, he'll cook something else. Every time he cooks something, one time I go over to his house and he goes, we're going to have this chicken. And I make a really good macaroni pie because he always, I'll cook the macaroni pie.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'm going to make this chicken dish. Cool, man. So he takes a whole chicken and a jar of mayonnaise, and he mixes all these spices up with the mayonnaise, and then he rubs mayonnaise all over the chicken, all over the outside of it. And yet the look you got right now is the exact same look that I have.
Yeah.
And he puts this thing on the grill for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's the best chicken I have ever had in my life.
Wow.
I mean, it was just, I don't know what it, because the mayonnaise is basically eggs and oil.
Yeah.
And it just created this great shell of skin on the outside and this great flavor that just seeped down into the meat. Oh, it was... It's some of the every time he cooks something, I think, how can he possibly do better?
And he does.
And every time, but I really believe, like I said, he's an artist. He works with meat, and those beer can burgers that he made were his masterpiece.
So, what are the chances? I think we need to get in. We need to work out our schedules. I know you mentioned he's a paramedic, so he's got some days off. If it's feasible, I mean, I'd love to. I'll pay that man because of your testimony. I'll pay that man come cook one of those burgers for me.
You wouldn't have to pay him; he would just do it.
Well, that's why I do a show with you,
right? Yeah, he would just do it, probably.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I'll talk to him.
Can we go to lunch now?
I'm hungry, man.
I ate a good breakfast.
I didn't, man.
You didn't?
I don't think I did. I'm cutting back so much that I'm just not chowing down like I used to.
I miss Glutton Mark.
I know you do. And I'm sitting here with a Sobe Life water and a regular bottle of water and a Diet Mountain Dew.
No, it ain't. Listen.
And no cigarette.
That is not a regular bottled water.
True. That is a big old bottle of water.
But it's Le Bleu.
It's Le Bleu bottled water. And it's delicious. And I quit smoking. So what folks may notice is that my voice doesn't have that
tradition. Doesn't sound like this.
Yeah, I don't sound like this anymore. And I'm not stopping to cough every 10 seconds when I talk.
It sound like Marge Simpson's sister.
Right. So now I feel like I need to cough and clear my throat. But
well, while you're doing that, can I share what I've been up to?
I would love to hear what you've been up to.
So we record every 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I was actually in... Franklin, Tennessee, which is just below Nashville. I was there at a conference. And if you follow my YouTube page, youtube.com/daddyheath, Monday I posted two videos. One was in, because wherever I go, I take a camera and microphones. Right. And I interview people. That's what I do. I do that for our denomination and just do it because I'm a podcaster. So I posted two videos. One was a wrestling interview, and one was an interview from this conference, which is... called the New Room Conference. It's just about, discipleship and, church growth and things like that. Really, really cool, really great conference. You'll appreciate this story because it just sums up my ignorance of some things.
And I'm always a fan of hearing stories about your ignorance.
Yeah. So we go to downtown. Two things happened in a span of 30 minutes. So we go to downtown Franklin. I think it's called Tucker's Grocery or Puckett's Grocery. That's it. And I'm thinking, man, that's not going to be a good restaurant. I got chicken fried chicken. Delicious. Just awesome. And we park in the parking garage. We go to Puckett's. And then it's called Seedbed Publishing. That's who put on the conference. And they're a small company, but their headquarters is right there in downtown Franklin in this old house. And they've got coffee and drinks and cookies. So I'm out there and I'm getting some cookies. They're out of coffee. Well, I see a gallon of milk. So I pour the milk and I'm dipping my cookies and it's awesome. Some of the best cookies. I mean, good cookies. Okay. I'm
gonna get, don't oversell these cookies now.
And so I'm enjoying it, and everybody's like, and my friend Jeremy, who I do another
good
podcast,
old Jeremy.
He
Jeremy always gets shout outs on this show. I never get a shout out on your other show.
That's because our other show has a different format than this one.
Well, still.
So he says, how is
you
that?
Could just say hey to Mark every night, and yeah, that'd be happy.
He said, how is that half and half? I said, what? He said, you've been drinking half and half. I'm like, no, I didn't. There's a gallon of milk over there. He's like, look. He goes up, picks up. It's half and half. I'm like, I saw a gallon jug with a cow on it with white stuff. I'm just thinking, I've never seen half and half in a clear.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Clear jug. Hey, it was good.
I'm sure
we finished the party. It was awesome hanging out. We get back to the car in the parking garage, my van, which has a keyless start. It had been running for 3 hours.
Oh, man.
I get in the car. I'm like, who cranked the car? And they're like, what do you mean? And they're like, this van sure is cool. I'm like, no, we did. I left the van. Because it runs so quiet and you don't have to take.
You have to press a button?
Yes.
Do you think maybe like your keys hit it in your pocket and start? Because like sometimes.
No. I think
my alarm will go off on mine if my keys hit the panic button.
No,
you think you just forgot to?
Forgot to turn it off.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm that.
It is a nice van, by the way.
The Batmobile.
And like it was funny because when we got up to Saluda, North Carolina, where we were going to stay, we had to go to the grocery store and get supplies, which was meat and beer and. So we got to go get all the stuff, and Josh said, I'll drive because I got the grocery getter because we're going to get a lot of groceries. He's got them, and he's got the same vantage.
Nice, so nice.
I felt comfortable riding like I knew how to adjust the
seat. Did it make you think of me?
It did. I said to Josh, he's got the same van.
What color is his?
Black.
See, great minds. Great minds think alike. I think that's your influence on me and Josh.
It could be. And Josh, who wrote a book. Great. I got a copy of his book.
He wrote a book?
The company that he works for, he wrote a history of the company.
Really?
And he brought me, gave me a copy and signed it. And I haven't started reading it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's impressive.
If I'm not, I'd tell you the name, but I'm not going to tell the name of the company I work for. I'm not going to tell the name of it, even though he wouldn't care, but still. I'm
you
not
tell everybody care. The name of the company I work for all the time.
Well, I do, but that's your job. I mean, that's part, you want to, you all about telling people the company that you work for.
I'm not supposed to hide what I do.
God, you're CEO, so I figure,
Oh, so the conference
he gets mad at you, he'll just smote you.
Yeah. So the conference is over on Friday, and that following Monday I had to speak in chapel at Southern Wesleyan. And I've been blessed. I get to speak there about once a year, normally about this time of year. And as we were going through this conference, just had some ideas of some stuff I wanted to do. So I called the chaplain, who's one of my best friends, did my wedding, had both his kids in youth group. And I called and I said, hey, I just want to make sure this is okay if I did this. And I'm thinking very small scale what I want to do. And as I'm telling him this, he just says, stop. I said, what do you mean? He says, I am in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. And I am bawling, and I don't want these people to think I'm crazy. So you wait till I've ordered my food and I've got my food, and then you finish telling your story. So anyway, we get to chapel Monday, and my sermon was on oneness, on being one, and Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, I pray that it'd be one as you and I are one. So I tied that into marriage and how, being married, you're one. Well, most of you guys know my wife has a disease called Huntington's disease. The year she graduated from college, she graduated a semester early. The week of graduation, her grandfather died. Well, when her grandfather died, two things happened. She missed graduation, so she never got to walk. And, like, literally, her grandfather died Thursday morning. She's getting ready to go meet her family in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and then drive to New York for this wedding. And I don't know if she's coming back. And I've already decided I'm going to marry her, but I have no ring. So I had to quickly call my good friend Alan. And it was probably the sketchiest ring purchase of all time. But in a span of like 3 hours, pick Alan up, get a ring, propose. It was very rushed, you know. So I wanted to do over on some of this. So after I preached my message, and I didn't know some of this was going to happen, the president of the university comes up, okay? And I'd ask, hey, I want to present her with a diploma. And I was just going to call her name and let the chaplain give it to her. He's like, no, it's not good enough. He comes up, he calls her name, and the president gives her, she walks across the stage, gives her to her diploma. The women's soccer team is there because my wife started the women's soccer team almost 20 years ago. They come.
Did she? She started?
Yeah. Her and two other girls went to the athletic director and said, we want to start a team. And he said, okay. So their first team, they had 13 players and six of them had played soccer.
Wow.
So I watched a lot of bad soccer that year.
I bet you did.
She scored the first goal in team history.
Wow.
At a tournament in North Carolina. And the one goal she scored at home, I was videoing. And I'd stopped videoing for a second. And I was walking down the hill. And I hear somebody at Southern Wesleyan, there's a hill where you sit. Somebody calls my name. Heath, you forgot your camera back. I turned around for like a split second. And she had shot from outside the box and scored. Like in the moment that I turn around, she took the shot and scored.
Right.
So the soccer team comes up. They've got a signed ball, team jacket, team shirt. And even before that, one of the alumni guys comes up. And like, so when you graduate, you get like a pen, you get a Bible, presents that to her. And then, so I'm like bawling because I didn't know any of that was happening.
And they thought that was a big deal. And then you got to the main event.
And I said, this whole message is about one. I want everybody to know. I cut my hard times promo.
Right, you did.
And
it was great.
And so driving back from that conference in Tennessee is when I did all my crying and practicing and figuring out what I was going to say. So I got on one knee. And gave my wife a new ring. And that was really, really cool. She had no idea. The kids were there. Got my kids out of school.
Right.
My parents were there. Her family watched it on it live stream. It was just a really cool.
No, when I shared the video, I said, here's my good. I think I said my part, my friend. Making the rest of us husbands look like boogers.
Yes, that's
how I felt. I showed it to my wife, and I cried when I watched it. Because I, as much as you and I go on with each other, like I very much, we are one another's daily support system in a lot of ways.
Yes, yes.
And I know what you're going. I'm like, I know the issues that go on with that. And like how much that meant to you, and I know what it meant to her. And I know I'm not a big crier, but like I teared up and my wife, and then I showed my friend Josh, who was like, "Oh, this is it's great." And then y'all kind of went viral
worldwide. Wesleyan viral. Yeah. What was really cool is that weekend. So that was on Monday. My daughters had their birthday on Wednesday. They turned 12, and then that weekend, just this last weekend, they had some friends over. So we wind up at the Haywood Mall where I had bought the ring.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm buying the ring, the lady that's showing me the ring, I'm telling her the story. Because that was a big purchase for me.
Mm-hmm.
In more ways than one. And so I'm telling her the story. And I got my wife. I said, you got to come meet this lady. And I went. And she's like, hey, I remember you. And I said, hey, I wanted you. This is my wife. And I said, and I gave her the link to the video. And she got it. You know, this is just a lady selling us a ring, you know.
Yeah.
She's a money mark. And it was just cool, man. It was cool. So if you want to check that out, if you haven't already.
We'll put a link to that up, too.
So it's youtube.com/SWU Chapel. And, it was preview day.
Preview day.
So they had all these visiting students coming to check out the school. And several of them came up. You know, we went and had lunch at the cafeteria, and several of them, there were several kids from T.L. Hanna came up and said, man, that was amazing.
You know, I was off that day. I would have came up there. See, if you just told me.
Didn't even think about that.
I know, you never do. You completely, like I told you, there's this moment, like Heath never gives me shout outs and stuff, but I know when I get the shout outs, and I know when other people get theirs too with the little subtle things that he says. But look, there's something else you said that I knew was dealing with a thing. But when you said you have to, like who you're friends with, no, I'm not saying you can't be friends with a heathen, and I knew, like, that was my shout out. Because we say it all the time. That's like you and I are completely opposite on a lot of that stuff. But
yeah,
I knew when you said that. Oh, he's talking about me.
There was another person I wanted to tell a story. I had to cut that out just for time restraints, but also just it was like, you know, if that person watches this video, they'll figure out that I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
And I'm just a nice guy. So that's what we've been up to. And so eventful, to say the least.
Yeah.
So we should probably spend more time away from each other.
Maybe we should. We actually got some living done when we weren't talking about wrestling.
Let's talk about some wrestling we did have a part of. The West Side Rumble.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good card.
I enjoyed that, yeah.
We're posting. We got videos. We did commentary for it. Had some firsts for us because we kind of involved ourselves in an angle featuring the Highland Embassy. Josh Oglesby came and joined us on commentary.
Yeah.
And that was
my
awesome.
Favorite wrestler, Josh Oglesby, the Scottish Prince.
The Scottish Prince.
What a great guy, man. He had me down to his palace.
Right.
Broke out his private reserve of scotch. We set out and just kind of talked about the great history of Scotland and the Scottish people. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Josh Oglesby. Just a great, great, great.
I just want you to know, Donald Trump has asked for his birth certificate.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, the guy's he's a Scottish lord. So
yeah,
Donald Trump can ask for whatever he wants to ask. Donald Trump's a fool.
So they,
me and Josh Oglesby, we know what's up.
So December the 5th, Pickens Middle School, a match I've never heard about. There's going to be a Scottish flag hung up and an American flag, a ladder match of capture the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't work so well. It's a scaffold match at the Great American Bash.
True.
Josh Oglesby against Ace Armstrong. And kudos to Three Count Wrestling. They're local. I go to, if I can, I go to all their shows. I follow their storylines. I'm a mark for Three Count Wrestling. Let's just put it like that. And they have done as good as you can do for me, from my point of view, for local indie wrestling. They have just built a fantastic storyline.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be a whale of a match.
Yeah. And they're Ricky Steamboat's coming in to, you know, Ace Armstrong's going to have Ricky Steamboat in his corner.
Yeah, that's going
to
be great.
My pledge to Josh Oglesby is that I'll be keeping an eye from ringside on Ricky Steamboat. You know,
I would like to see Ricky Steamboat give you an arm drag.
If Ricky Steamboat comes anywhere near me, he needs to understand that I don't care about any kind of health issues he's had in the past. I'll snap his neck just like I'd snap.
Wait a minute. What kind of health issues are you speaking of? We're in a movie with Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah,
hey, bring our posters. We need to get it signed.
Dang it. Why didn't I? I keep forgetting those posters.
That's because
man.
You're going to take them to this. We're going to take them and he's going to sign them.
That's
there.
Right. But I just want Josh Oglesby to know that I got his back if he needs anything.
There's also going to be stripped Eric Bradford of the Three Count title.
Yeah,
broke some contractual agreements.
Yeah,
and so Ken Magnum, who's been the number one contender, Lodi won a number one contenders match. Then Ken, actually no, they were the last two standing in a battle royal. So they're right. Wrestling for the Three Count title. December 5th. And again, I mean,
I like Ken Magnum. I like his attitude.
I had a great interview with him. That guy just does. He wants that title.
Yeah.
He's willing to do. I think he personally, I think he crossed the line, put his hands on some Three Count officials. I think that's uncalled for.
Well, I mean, you go putting your hands on a man like Magnum. I mean, there's consequences and repercussions to your actions. And I'm not saying that you should go around putting your hands on the referee. Because I'm not, you know, maybe he shouldn't have gone that far. But the referee put himself in harm's way as well. He's got to take a little bit of responsibility for putting himself between those two guys. And what happens, happens. I mean, two men are fighting. You step in between them, you might catch a punch in the mouth.
And listen, that was that brawl went everywhere.
Yeah, that was a great – yes, I love a good brawl, and that was a great brawl. Got to meet Barbarian.
Yeah.
Barbarian walks over, shakes my hand, and says, let's rock and roll tonight, baby.
Yep, yeah.
And when the Barbarian tells you to rock and roll, brother, you rock and roll.
You rock and roll, that's right. He defeated Jay Batista with some outside help from Matt Quinn, who's a teacher at Westside, and healed it up that night, distracted Batista. Distracted the referee.
I don't know what healed it up means when we're talking about what actually happened on the show, but got a chance to talk to.
What I mean is, this guy is a teacher.
Uh huh.
He's in his home school.
Uh huh.
I expected him to show a little more respect for the people of Westside.
Right.
Yet.
Oh, he didn't. I thought it was great. I got no problem with people saying what needs to be said.
I'm not even talking about. I'm talking about the breaking of the rules of professional wrestling, the sport of professional wrestling.
Did he get caught? It ain't cheating.
I saw it.
It ain't cheating. It doesn't matter if you see it or I see it. What matters is if the referee saw it. I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my goodness!
The referee didn't see it. We don't have an instant replay rule in professional wrestling, so he didn't do anything wrong.
Well. Sometimes they do on Raw.
Yeah, well, they do now. You know, but that's because there's people
when they're trying to break.
And that's why their ratings are like at 1.2.
Oh man,
and nobody's watching anymore. I ain't watched Raw since Night of Champions, but I don't want to talk about Raw. I want to talk about three count.
Some good wrestling.
Had a chance before the show, man. I had a long talk with Jay Batista.
Yeah, super cool.
Kind of about his career.
Yeah,
and just a really, and he gave me some. Some fitness. I mean, he's in incredible shape. I'm not usually a fan of the guys who go around glad-handing and shaking hands with people.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. But, you know, Jay Batista, he's an all right guy. An all right guy. I guess if I got to like one of those, I don't know, I think we call them good guys. If I got to like a good guy, I like Jay Batista. He's okay in my book. Not a fan of his attitude.
Right.
Not a fan of the fact that he wants everybody to like him, and he goes around shaking hands and looking for the reception from the crowd. But backstage, he gave me some good fitness advice and how to eat a little bit cleaner and eat a little bit better. And I've been taking that advice and losing some weight. So I have to say I appreciate it, Jay.
You know who got a good reaction from the crowd?
Who's that?
Me and you.
Yeah, we did.
We got a good reaction from the crowd.
I mean, you did. I refused to shake their hands. I didn't want the people of Anderson to dirty my hand because I know how dirty
we had some Pendleton folks there.
Yeah, there were a few. And if one thing I hate more than somebody from Anderson is somebody from Pendleton.
Will you stop? You know? Oh, my goodness. You know, ruined his career. Contempt for the audience, baby. You don't have to go there. You don't have to work blue, baby.
Work blue, baby.
No.
Jay Batista was a really nice guy. I enjoyed meeting him, enjoyed talking to him. And he really did give me some
yeah,
really
we're not
good, telling. I'm not making that up. Like, I talked to him for about half an hour. And, like, I just asked him, man, I'm trying to do this. And he'd give me a lot of good advice.
Yeah, I saw y'all talking. And I don't even remember what I was doing, running around, you know.
Marking out.
I was. Yeah. And but I came back and you guys were still talking. Dude, just phenomenal night. Just a great night, a great experience. And just, you know, thanks to all the guys that worked there, just they made us feel so welcome.
They did, man. I mean, I said it was nice to walk into a locker room and feel like that you were appreciated for being there and trying to bring something to the show. And, all joking aside, like how much I really did appreciate the fact that they made us feel so welcome because they didn't know us.
No.
From anywhere. We just kind of showed up. I mean, they asked us to be there and do it. But I mean, just to kind of come into and not know anybody in the locker room and for them to just accept us into the locker room.
Oh, absolutely.
And man, made us feel like they appreciated us for being there and that we were there to make the show better.
Right.
And we were there to help them. And I, like, I can't thank those guys enough. Yeah, like, it was a great, great time.
And we got to see some, several guys we have not seen wrestle before. Rob Killjoy, just
who was great. He was that was a really, really good match. That match, I really enjoyed it, man.
Yeah,
I don't want to say best match because I thought every match on the card
wasn't
was
a bad match.
There
on
was,
the card.
Man. It was, and we had the best seat in the house, man.
We did, dude. We were right 5 feet from the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, man. I mean, like every guy in that locker room. I respect every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought they were all great. Yeah. Like when I joke around about stuff, I mean, that's just character stuff, but
yeah.
Great, great guys, man.
Yeah. So December 5th, Pickens Middle School.
You can come out and meet Ricky Steamboat.
Come out, meet Ricky Steamboat. There's going to be some great, great matches.
Meet Mark my favorite wrestler. Joshua Gillespie.
So some of these guys we've been talking about, and we've done the videos for, and we'll be doing a video for them. Gunner and Cedric Alexander are wrestling that
Hopefully
night.
Gunner don't kick me in the chest.
Oh, that's, my. You know. Now, apparently, now, allegedly, they've had to sit down and clear the air, and other guy's already back on Facebook or whatever, so.
Well, good for them.
Good for them.
I'm glad they got that worked out.
That's right. They should go to the Middle East and
get Because I was worried about that.
I know who you were. Oh, my goodness. I know you lost so much sleep about the uproar in the wrestling industry.
Yeah, the Gunner situation.
I think there were some people that did lose sleep.
Yeah, I think so.
Per their Facebook reactions.
Yeah.
I do have a reaction to something on Facebook, if we can move on. Okay, and that is the wrestling you grew up with, the greatest group, wrestling group that Mark is a part of on Facebook.
Right.
2,500 members.
Uh-huh.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah, me too. That's awesome, man.
And Scott said something that it was about me and you being, listen, we got nothing to do with it. We really don't do a whole lot of administrating on that site.
Nah. I'll accept or approve somebody every now and then.
I banned somebody who put up a Ray-Ban ad. Yeah, those things have gone crazy.
Yeah, I'll do that occasionally just if it gets on my nerves.
And we're actually doing a whole show. We'll record a whole show later today based on a good post. Somebody asked a question about the Four Horsemen. We're going to talk about that. It's been really good. But the sad thing is like you said, not a whole lot happening on Raw.
It's weird. I was like, because people will post these articles on the site, but they're not, like, really, it's just, here's what Dave Meltzer said. It's a post where here's what these guys said about what Dave Meltzer said.
Yeah.
And they're not really stories.
No.
They're not really big issues. Like, Paige said something about Eva Marie, and she wouldn't slam Eva Marie, so that must mean they told her.
They're protecting Eva Marie.
No, maybe it's just that's a coworker of hers, and she doesn't want to go on. God, if you don't understand the difference between people working and people not and people shooting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was working. She was doing an interview as Paige, not necessarily the character that she portrays.
Yeah.
And she didn't slam a coworker in public.
Right.
I don't know that means anybody's being
protected. At a public appearance and a public interview.
Right, representing the company that you work for.
Right.
To not go into business for yourself and start slamming your opponents. I don't do that.
That's called career suicide.
Right, where I work at, it's the same way. You don't go around. Maybe if you're the kind of person that goes around slamming your coworkers in public, maybe that's the reason you haven't gotten further in life.
Right.
Because that's just normal behavior. Because
if you do that kind of thing, they'll take your name tag.
Yes, you won't have a name tag anymore. That was such a non-story.
The thing about Brock getting more money for this Madison Square Garden show, the guy signed for a certain amount of appearances.
Yeah.
They want him to do more appearances. And they're paying him.
It's essentially the same as working overtime. Those of us who have name tags on our shirts, when we work overtime, most of us, we get paid time and a half.
Yeah.
And if it's on a Sunday, you get paid double time. Now, when my wife goes in to work on a Sunday, if she makes a certain amount of money for to do it. When she works on Sunday, they double the amount of money that she gets paid for a day's work to come in and work on a Sunday.
Jiminy okay? Cricket.
Now, if I don't have an issue with that. And I'm guessing if you work anywhere where they pay you by the hour, you don't have an issue with it either. Yeah. If you're going to go in on your days off, they pay you, they compensate you more money for having to work your day off.
Right.
That's what every company in the world does, and you think it's okay when it's you getting overtime, but you don't think it's okay when Brock Lesnar's getting overtime?
And the argument is, well, Brock Lesnar doesn't love wrestling. He
whoever,
just
when
money.
Has Brock Lesnar ever said he loved wrestling?
No.
Never. He's never said that. I don't
Has
hate
Ole Anderson ever said he loved wrestling?
No, nobody.
I think Ole Anderson said at FanFest he loves money.
Yes, all those guys. You have this fallacy in your mind.
Yeah.
Not you. Wrestling fans, that all these guys from the 70s and 80s got into wrestling because they loved wrestling.
Yeah.
They got into wrestling because they saw it as a way to make money.
Right.
That's what it's about. It's about making money. Don't hate somebody because they make more money than you and go home when they get done making that money and lay down with Sable. And then they get to hang out and spend their life doing what they like doing. I can't hate a guy for that.
Nah.
I might hate him, but I don't hate him. It's like Tom Brady. Somebody's walking around with nothing because Tom Brady's got everything. Tom Brady's 3-0 and the football season ain't started yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just, golly, I hate him for that reason. And I think that's why people hate Brock Lesnar. He doesn't love wrestling, never claimed it. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
And I can't hate a guy for being a good businessman. The same with Kevin Nash. I don't hate Kevin Nash for being a good businessman.
Yeah.
Is he a great wrestler? No. He's never claimed to be. That I know of. He ain't never walked around and claimed that he was as good in the ring as Shawn Michaels. He has never made that claim.
Right.
Because he knows it's not true, just like you and me know it's not true, but he's an incredible businessman.
Yeah. I think...
Did you read the story about when they pulled the NWO shirts? He went ballistic.
Right.
Because he owned... It was divided into four parts, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. So... He got a percentage, Hogan got a percentage, and Hall got a percentage.
Yeah.
And then the WWE got their percentage. Well, it was so there's a four-part ownership, but they owned the majority of the NWO money.
Yeah.
Those three guys did, and Kevin Nash bought Scott Hall out.
Yeah.
So his take every time an NWO t-shirt sold was like 33 or 34% of the money that was made off of that shirt he made.
Wow.
Like it went into his pocket
because
he had bought Hall out.
And somebody was like complaining that he took advantage of Hall.
No, Scott Hall, if you got something and you want some money and I buy it from you, nobody took advantage of anybody.
That's
he didn't have to sell him that.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. He didn't have to do that. It may not be as much money as we think it is that they're generating off those t-shirts.
Right.
Sometimes people want to lump sum because they got something they want to do.
Even if it's... detrimental.
Yeah. So I don't think he took advantage of anybody.
Yeah.
If Scott Hall made a decision to sell him that his percentage of it, then that's life. So, Hall owns – or Scott – Kevin Nash gets 33%.
Wow.
So he's third – and then they took the shirts down.
Now, that apparently was – all right. So and it was in the same article – it talked about how they got that percentage. Was that when WCW was sold, or was that in their WCW contract?
I don't know. I don't know how their contract. They probably had some kind of deal that was already in place, but I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, Heath. I don't know if you know.
Mark, you've been doing this show under false pretenses.
I have. Here I am giving out free legal advice. I tell you what, I can diagnose your medical conditions too. If you
hey. No, you won't.
Oh, that's your gimmick.
No, you won't. That's mine. And if you send for this prayer cloth, we can take care. You can take care of you.
That's right. I've been praying over your letters so much and crying that the ink has made its way into my tear ducts. And I had to have corrective surgery on my eyes to fix that.
Let's talk about somebody that you and Kevin Nash are both big fans of. And that's CM Punk. A lot of chatter on Facebook groups. And it's the same question. How do you think CM Punk is going to fare in his fight? Because it's got to be coming up here soon.
Yeah, they should be. If they don't announce something soon, I don't know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do something. I mean, it's not going to be able to drag on forever.
Right.
But
right.
I tell you, I saw him a month or two ago. He looks like a fighter now. He looks a lot better than he did in WWE. I mean, he's got that.
His last bit in WWE, he looks sick.
And I think he was. I think he was just physically and emotionally run down.
Yeah.
But he looks good now. I mean, he's got that lean muscle.
Right.
That all those fighters have the long muscles. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you
like
mean.
Like when you look at a guy.
Oh, actually, I do know what you mean. You're talking about when the trapezius just starts to pop and it gets that little quivering. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Quiver. I didn't say nothing about quivering. I don't know what you're talking about. But he's got a fighter's build now, the long, lean muscle that a lot of those guys have. So he's got that. And then, like, the genius of why they hired him came through when he did that Q&A.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that?
I watched part of it.
A few months ago when the guy got up and, like, tried to pick a fight with him.
Yeah.
And he went – the guy said, you might remember me from Twitter. And then he just went off, like, how that was the greatest Troy McClure from The Simpsons. I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such safety videos as, you know. So you might, and then he busted on him for that. And then the guy said, are you done? And he said, no, I'm not done. I'm going to be up here for like 45 more minutes. But you know who's done? You're done.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's why they hired Punk.
Yeah.
Because he can do that.
Yeah.
When a lot of those other guys can't. And I still believe that the deal with Punk is not about him being a fighter.
Right.
And I just don't think that's the case. I think what they're looking at is you have Joe Rogan who does his thing and he's good at it.
Yeah.
But he's not really a fighter.
Right.
He hasn't had a UFC fight.
Right.
I think they're looking for that guy to be a color commentator that can have a fight and win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
And if he wins, he'll have a couple of fights. I think if he gets destroyed, and he may. I mean, there is a chance that he may. We don't know how tough Punk is. There's a lot of talk, but we really don't know. It's if the CM Punk that was in the Royal Rumble went into a fight, I think he'd get the floor mopped with him. But the guy that I saw, I'm not sure that he will now.
So let me say something to you about that, because one of the comments I saw on one of these threads. How do you think? I've seen what CM Punk can do, and I'm like, you have seen him fake fight,
right?
You have seen him not
the training videos they put out. They're not putting a lot of those up for people to see because you just don't do that. You don't want people to know what your weaknesses are before a fight.
But I think there's a couple of things.
Well, let me just finish. I think the ultimate end game is not that CM Punk be this big UFC fighter like Brock Lesnar. It's that he be a color commentator.
Yeah.
Because he's so good at that.
Right.
Who can handle those kind of questions from people.
Yeah.
But also sit on commentary and say, man, look, I thought that I could do this.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, these athletes are in a class all by themselves. And I think that's the ultimate end game for him is to have a job as a color commentator who's a voice of experience in the octagon, who also has the ability to articulate himself very well. And it's not easy to find that. Joe Rogan can articulate.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really fought in the octagon.
Right.
Mike Goldberg. Never done it, but he can articulate him very well. But to have a guy who brings a voice of experience, because a lot of those guys who fight, they're okay at cutting promos, but I don't know how well they would do on that color commentator job about talking. So I think that is the end game with Punk, is for him to have that job.
And that's exciting to me, to think about him and Rogan and even Goldberg on that three-man booth.
Yeah.
And I think Punk's got that personality
that he can go toe to toe. Right.
I think that would be.
He can play that heel that rubs you the wrong way. He's playing a baby face right now. He's playing the sympathetic underdog.
Right. And
he's doing great at it. Yeah. When I watched that, whole thing because I've been very critical of Punk.
Correct.
But that's just because his attitude when he left, I didn't necessarily like that. But I've never taken away from the fact that the guy can cut a heck of a promo.
Yeah.
And I just think that's his strength, is the ability to talk coupled with some experience in the octagon. And I think he'll be a definite positive for that company.
And to me, I'll watch a guy who is a great technician. in UFC.
Right.
I'll watch a guy who was a great brawler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll watch a guy who can talk, may not can fight, may not be the greatest technician, may not be the best fighter, but he can talk me into the building.
Right.
I watch the guys that are okay fighters and okay talkers. Nobody's talking about
them.
Well,
it's just like in wrestling.
It is.
The guys who can get in there and do all the moves, but they don't have a lot of charisma. They don't really. You remember the guys who are really, really good in the ring and the guys who can really, really talk.
And then
you remember Ronda Rousey, who WWE's not going to produce a diva that gets the reaction that Ronda Rousey gets, especially when they. When they have the big moment with her, they don't give it to one of the girls on the roster. They give it to the owner of the company.
Right.
Vince McMahon didn't do that with Mike Tyson. He gave that moment to Steve Austin.
Right.
So you have an opportunity to get somebody in interaction with one of the biggest sports attractions in the world, and the owner of the company takes it instead of giving it to a Sasha Banks or a Charlotte or a Paige or even an Natalya.
Yeah.
They should have been the one that had that interaction with Ronda Rousey, not Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah. My thing with Punk is he's going to be going in there against a guy who's been probably training UFC, MMA his whole life.
Probably. I don't know.
I think they're going to protect him. I think like Rocky III.
They'll protect him as much as they can, and I think that they should. I mean, you don't need to put Punk in there and I don't know the weight classes of a lot, but you don't need to put him in there with George St. Pierre.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll probably find a guy that's got about as much experience.
Yeah.
Maybe that's – I don't know that you can get a guy that's the same age. The commission is not going to allow him to go in there with a guy who's 12-0 and won 10 of them by knockout. They're not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to sanction that fight.
It is in the UFC's interest for him – to have a good showing and win.
I don't even think he needs to win.
He needs to have a good showing.
But he needs to have a good showing.
Yeah.
So if he has a good showing and he loses, well, at least he made the effort, he went out, and he did well. But if somebody Ronda Rouseys him and makes him tap out in 30 seconds, that's going to hurt. He's not going to be effective at all other than feeling that, hey, man, I thought I could do this. And let me tell you, these guys are a different class of athlete.
Yeah. But if that happened, I think you sell the second fight and you build that storyline of, man, this is what I got to improve on. For me, if he lasts the first round, it's a win.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think so. I think – and I don't mean last the first round by go around and play and being on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if he goes out and he fights hard and he's aggressive and he loses, you know what? He puts himself out there in a real environment to have a real fight for you to watch and to see what his skills are. And if you're knocking him and you're insulting him sitting at home – then I would ask you if you had enough balls to do that.
Right. He's put himself out there.
Do you have enough balls to go get in a real fight with somebody on pay-per-view and let's see how much of a man you really are? So whatever I think about him, I respect that.
Yeah. And I really think, and maybe I'm wrong, and so I would say this as a question to you, his first fight – that first real punch he gets hit with, I think you'll be able to see by the look on his face.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah.
You'll know
whether he really wants to do it or not. And I think he really does. Listen, I'm sure he ain't training to go out there and get beat.
No.
He wants to win, but I don't know. I've never seen his jaw tested. According to him, he's been hit in the face.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, as somebody who's been hit in the face, it ain't as bad as you think it is.
Hmm.
It ain't fun.
Right.
And there's a difference between a guy with no training punching you in the face and a guy trying to punch your jaw off because he knows how.
Yeah.
I'd have no doubt that somebody that a professional fighter, I've never been hit by a UFC professional fighter.
Right.
So I'm sure that it hurts more. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it's not like once you get
it's
it over.
Not the end of the world.
Once you get it over with, you realize it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and if somebody just don't ring your bell out of nowhere and completely knock you out, you know, I mean, it staggers you for a minute and you feel it, but it ain't the end of the world. So, but you're right. You're going to know early on whether he's how he's going to do in this fight or not. I don't know that they're going to put him in there with a big – with a buzzsaw, though. I just don't think they are. I think they'll find a guy that does a lot of wrestling and grappling.
Yeah.
And then I think that guy's strategy will be to go in and punch.
Right.
Okay, I think that would be my strategy with him, because his jaw hadn't been tested. And you got to know. You got to hit him one time and see how he reacts to it. But I think they'll match him up with a wrestler. I don't think they're going to match him up with a brawler.
Yeah. I think I'm ready for them to go ahead and announce that fight. And
yeah, me too. And I hope I'm off that night so I can watch it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely.
And ultimately, that's why they gave Puck a contract. Because wrestling fans are going to want to watch that fight and see how he does. And I'm pulling for him. Like, when this whole thing first started, I was pulling against him. And I said I wanted to go see him. I wanted to see him get knocked out. And I wanted to see – and I have changed my position on that. I'm pulling a Donald Trump, and I'm flip-flopping. things I may have said, I don't know, about religion years and years ago versus
– He is a flip-flopper.
If any, I don't know if he is or not. I don't follow.
I'd vote for you before I voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, think he really wants to be president, you're lying and deceiving yourself.
Oh, my.
I don't think he's playing a heel. And it's not like – that's why I used to tell people there's certain angles you can't do in the South.
Yeah.
Because you'll be the baby face even though you're playing the heel.
Right.
There's just certain things you can't do in Salem, South Carolina. That you could do in other parts of the country and be a heel. There's certain parts of the South
that
can't do certain things and be the heel. They would cheer you as the baby face. And that's amazingly what's happening with Donald Trump. He's playing the heel, and people are turning him baby face.
Oh, my goodness.
He's just trying to be a spoiler, man. I mean, that's all. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he really does want to be president, but I can't imagine that he does. The guy, I'm going to be honest with you. If you've been divorced one time, you don't get to talk to me about the sanctity of marriage.
Right. Yeah. He's on marriage.
If you've been divorced and you listen to this and that offends you, then you know how people feel when you offend them. I don't care if it offends you. That's just the way I feel.
Right.
If you've been divorced, you don't get to talk about other people making mockeries of marriage.
So, yeah, to me, if you are a conservative Republican, Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh don't need to be the people on the poster about the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah. It's like Rush Limbaugh don't get to talk to me about being a drug addict, even though I've heard him before we found out that he was addicted to pain pills. I heard him knock a couple other people for it.
Yeah.
Which usually you're a preacher, and I've always found that if you hear a preacher talking about something too much, that's because that's what he's dealing with in his personal life. But
I do talk about eating a lot.
And I tell you this, and I got no issue saying it out loud. I think the men that scream the loudest about hating gay people are screaming about that because secretly they hate themselves.
Yeah.
And they hate the desires and the passions and the lusts in their own heart.
Yeah. I think I have found that to be very true in some people I have known.
Yeah.
Just the way, I think – and we all got stuff we got to deal with. I think to me, the culture with the technology we have, even my son Drake, who's 8 years old, he's got to think about everything he says, every video he posts on YouTube,
right?
Every picture I post to him on the internet. I got to think about all that. Because if he ever wants to do anything like public office, somebody's going to Google his name.
Yeah, and find this.
I mean, remember when you used to have to dig for stuff, and now you don't have to dig for anything?
Good Lord, if they locked every one of us up, whoever said something stupid, there wouldn't be nobody left to turn the key.
Are you saying, Mark, I know I've said stupid stuff because we had to edit it out of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We all say stupid things sometimes. Sometimes things just don't come out the way you mean for them to come out.
I was thinking about, this conversation, and because I knew we were doing this show where we were going to talk about a variety of different things. And I was thinking about something. I think, how would I say that? And I thought about how I'd say it. And I'm like, whoa, 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 that does not sound good at all.
Yeah.
And so I've made it a point during this hour and 10 minutes to totally stay away from that topic. So I did not put my foot in my mouth like a fool.
Yeah.
So just there's been a lot going on, man. Like you said, this Saturday, which when you're listening to this, it's Monday. So this past Saturday was the network special of the Madison Square Garden show. I won't watch that. I'll be at the Clemson Notre Dame game.
Yeah. I'll be working, so to watch it.
But, you know, I don't really want to see Brock Lesnar in Big Show wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know why they thought that, but that's why nobody's watching their program right now.
Right.
If I'm bringing Brock Lesnar back, I guess it's just so he can beat somebody up real bad.
I think it was maybe the venue. They'll sell out masses. And for them to be broadcasting something live from MSG, that's a big deal because it costs a lot of money to broadcast from there. Their rating, you know, I'm not telling anybody that their ratings are historically low. I saw a great meme this morning. The top was Vince McMahon saying, "Our ratings are low. I'll show them. I know what the people want." And the bottom picture was John Cena and Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're only moments away from that feud coming again.
Resurfacing, yeah.
The bad thing is,
but if they do that, they'll have to abandon that captivating Randy Orton versus Sheamus feud.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know if you can afford.
Well, now it's Randy Orton and the Wyatt family.
Oh, is it? Have they moved on from Roman Reigns to Randy?
He got
Orton?
Attacked by the Wyatt family, so now it's like Orton, Reigns, and Ambrose against the Wyatt family.
That's captivating.
And I feel bad because they'll look back and say, well, Seth Rollins didn't draw as a champion. But I think there's so much. I think Rollins is great as a champion. I enjoyed, you know, his match with Sting. We haven't talked about that. You know, everybody's talking about all the – somebody posted – I don't know if it was in our – maybe it was in our group or not – how sloppy of a wrestler – Seth Rollins was because of all the people he had hurt. And they said he's hurt all these people with the curb stomp. And I said, who is he hurt with the curb stomp? And they said, Dean Ambrose.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, whoever said that, you're a moron.
Dean Ambrose went to film a movie.
Yeah, they didn't really put his head through an iron cinder block. I mean, come on. Golly, I can't believe in 2015 you have to explain that to idiots. Golly. If you the guy that said it and you mad don't want to listen to the show,
we'll be
anymore,
happy to go down to 2,499.
Yeah, don't listen to the show anymore. I don't care.
There's plenty of great podcasts that'll.
I mean, good Lord, if you think he really put his head through some cinder blocks and hurt him, come on.
And to me, Sting took some nasty bumps in that match.
Sting got hurt because he's 50. He's almost 60 years old. Yeah. The human body at 60 years old is not meant to do that. Go back. Used to, those guys would wrestle into their 60s, in their 50s and 60s. Go back and watch some of those matches.
Yeah.
They get hit, and they grab the top rope, and they get hit again, they take a knee, and then they get hit again, and they flop over on their back.
Yeah.
They weren't falling from one table to the next and getting picked up and power bombed onto the end of the term. Sting got hurt because he's 56 years old.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be having matches like that.
Right, right.
He's not.
Yeah.
I am not knocking anybody for their age. I'm speaking the truth.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be doing that when you're 56 years old.
Dude, he went through – so
– my hat's off to Sting for having an – I thought – that he showed a lot of guts for going out there and even having that match.
So there was a point in that match where they were getting on the announce table. And I thought to myself, oh, Sting, because it looked like Sting was going to do the scorpion drop on the table. And I said, oh, man, Sting forgot to take the monitor off.
Mm-hmm.
Man, because Sting's not been in that situation.
Right.
Where he's about to go through it. But then he goes through the table that's got two monitors on it, and he hits his head. I mean,
he did.
It was a crazy, crazy, crazy.
But I knew when he picked him up and threw him into that turnbuckle, the way he staggered off of it, I knew he was in trouble. I knew that wasn't wrestling selling
because
it was not animated enough to be wrestling selling. Right. It was what you really do when you get your belt.
And they still have not said what his injury was.
Yeah.
Just that there were no broken bones.
Yeah. I think he was 56 years old and he got his bell rung.
That's what
I think it was a whiplash.
Yeah.
That took place. Just what I saw.
Right.
being there, having done those types of things, and just being a man in general in life. And
yeah.
It looked like his neck just whiplashed when that happened, and it knocked him silly.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened.
He still had the presence of mind. They obviously, they did the planned finish of the match.
I think so, yeah.
Kudos to Sting, who, with a legit injury, was able to put on a better match than what we have said Jeff Hardy did.
Yeah.
Who was healthy,
yeah,
except, right. Well, maybe not mentally.
I would have had no problem with him stopping the match.
No. To me,
that would have
built up Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that would have been a UFC type finish. The referees decided Sting's he's knocked out. He's not able to continue.
Yeah.
Like that would have been fine with me.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been dramatic. I think there should be more of that.
Yeah.
No, man, we looked at him. He's not okay.
Yeah.
Rollins has ended Sting's career.
Sting, even if you say you're okay, you're not okay.
Right. And then Seth Rollins ended Sting's career.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great.
I mean, he's got something to hang. And the knee to John Cena's face, it ain't ballet.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're so ingrained with the fact that it's sports entertainment and it's not real. You don't understand that there are real risks involved.
Yeah.
With what goes on. That's why they do that don't try this at home stuff.
Yeah.
If you've ever been in a wrestling ring, you've been hit before. It's just he got hit in the nose and it broke it.
Yeah.
I had a guy one time hit. We locked up and we had baby oil on and his arm slipped. And he hit the point of his elbow, hit me right under the nose.
Yeah.
On that little part that caves in on your upper lip. What do you call that?
I don't know. I have a scar there.
I don't know. But anyway, he hit that, just the point of his elbow hit it just right, and it split my lip open underneath.
Ugh.
You know that little piece of meat that connects
you?
You know that little piece of meat right there? It tore it in half.
Yikes.
It ain't ballet. That stuff happens.
That guy's a reckless worker.
Exactly. Right. I mean, and I wasn't mad at him.
Right.
Because it happened.
Yeah.
You know who I was mad at that night?
Who?
The guy in the front row that looked at his buddy and said, he had a blood capsule in his mouth. That's who I remember I spit blood out right in front of him and went over and lifted my lip up and showed it to him.
What did he say?
Does that look like a blood capsule to you? And I pulled my lip back and he went, ooh. And I went and got back in the ring.
Nice. That's funny. That's funny. So, hey, it's great to be back. Great to be back talking about whatever the heck we want to talk about.
Yeah, because it's our show, and if you don't like it, listen to something else.
Whether it's a bacon beer can burger or asking your wife to marry you all over again.
Both, I think, equally satisfying.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If I could have traded places with you.
Both leave you with the same amount of acid indigestion at the end of the day.
Hey, listen. Neither of those moments left us wanting more.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally satisfied.
Yeah, your moment was really cool. I liked it. I teared up. I texted you.
I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to tear up.
I do. Like, I want to keep talking just so you'll start crying because your voice cracked a little bit in the thing. You were like, and you're my one. And I went, he's going to cry. He's going to cry in public. And then, like, it didn't happen. And
I cry in public all the time.
Oh, I'm sure you do. You're one of those guys. You're such a nerd.
Or perhaps I'm just sensitive.
Either way.
Perhaps I don't have a hardened heart.
Yeah, there could be some of that.
Hey, we hope you don't have.
Perhaps I'm just sensitive. It's too bad that I don't have the editing skills that you do. Because, boy, I'd pull that right out.
Woo!
Yeah. Woo! I mean, maybe I'm just sensitive. Every time. Oh, God, I would insert that all over the place. Maybe I'm just sensitive. Yeah,
I think that might be a show intro or outro in the future.
Me saying, you're going to take me, so you said it. You're going to take me repeating it and edit it mid-sounding like I did it.
Listen.
And they're going to be waiting for that moment.
When have I ever done that? When have I ever taken your quotes out of context?
When I was explaining to you about the time the guy said I liked a couple of things that I didn't like, and then the next thing you know.
I need to find that on this computer. Yeah. That may be on the hard drive. So.
I bet it is.
Hey, doubledropkick.com. All our episodes are there. Everything we're doing, you want to go check that out. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Download it. We're trying to get worldwide. We need people. We want to be in all 50 states. We need people in Alaska, Hawaii. You're not downloading episodes. We need you to hit the download button. We want you to come to our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. We want to thank all our great administrators. Hey, next stop, 3,000 members. And, you know, Mark, speaking of historic numbers, we're getting very close to episode 100. A milestone.
That's cool. Where what episode is this? Do you remember?
This will be 93 or 94.
Oh, cool.
So we're getting right there. So we're going to have to like plan something.
Yeah, we need y'all. Give us some ideas about what a good
100th. Hey, there you go. There you go. What would be a good 100th episode?
What would be a good 100th episode to talk about? So the three guys that tell us stuff, you guys get on it and tell us what tell us what we can do for our episode 1. Justin Donahue,
Scott and Hofer.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I'm going to Bound for Glory with
Bill
Hofer.
Morris, I'm talking to you.
With Hofer Sunday night. So get to see Kurt Angle wrestle. Excited about that.
Yeah, I wish
not
I
really
could go.
Not really excited about anything else, though.
Yeah, I wish I could go, man. I just can't.
I am excited to see the train wreck that is TNA.
Yeah, I'd like to go see Trevor Lee. I wish I could do that.
So that's going to be good.
I'll tell you what I did get, though. I told you I just ordered the Battle of Los Angeles 2015, all three nights.
Yeah.
So when everybody else is watching and complaining about Raw, I'll be watching that for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's gonna be good. I look forward to stealing that from you. So we're on Twitter. Talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken and Mark
at the DDK Show.
We love, you know, we respond to our fans. We're not we're not stuck up.
Yeah, sometimes I can't because I got, you know, if I'm working or something. Most of the time, I always try.
But typically within 24 hours, you'll give somebody. So
yeah, I try. If I ever miss one, it ain't nothing personal. It's just,
we're just having fun. We enjoy what we do. We love talking wrestling. Whether it's whatever kind of wrestling it is, we like talking about it.
Yeah.
So go to all those places, download all our episodes, click on a banner. What else am I supposed to say? It's been so long, I don't remember what to say.
Yeah, you got it. Click on a banner. Click on a banner. Help us out. This is free. You freeloaders.
Freeloaders.
Bunch of freeloaders.
Yes. So it's about time for us to make a beverage switch and a bathroom break. So here's Bob Caudle telling you what to do.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.